Pentecost for you here. Come back for more next week. Matt, could you help us with the microphone? This is the time in our service where we share joys and concerns. We certainly celebrate and thank you for the gift of music for our Ghana Choir singing in these days, and we invite you to share joys and concerns with us this morning. Matt will run the microphone around.
I'd like prayers for my dad, who'll be having surgery on Wednesday to have his carotid artery cleared out.
I'm very happy to say that I'm done with the training manual that I've been working on at work for 7 months plus, and it's out of my hair, and I couldn't be happier.
Big thanks for the church family that helped me when I was really panicked. Somebody hacked my email, and I got phone calls from all over the country, but I didn't know how to stop this from continuing. Pastor Chris made a referral to Brian Shim. He told me exactly what to do, and I slept very well last night.
It's with joy that I remember that Sheila Comite graduated yesterday, and she's my confirmand, and I am so proud of her.
We tried to bring you up to date, or keep you up to date, with the Burundi family that we work with in this church and share joys and concerns. This is a concern. Pacifique, the eighth grader, fell at school, leaping over something, he said, when I talked to him. I don't know what the thing was. But fell, he broke his arm, and he hurt his hip, and I think injured a finger, too. So he's in a cast and in a wheelchair, actually, for a little bit. But we want to keep in our prayers.
I'd like to have prayers for a friend of mine by the name of Andrea. She's having a lumpectomy on Monday at 11 o'clock.
Just an update on my mom. I was visiting last week to Pennsylvania, and she's doing great. She's not quite back to work yet, but she is recovering very well. And we were able to spend some time together. We did some day trips, and she held up really well. I was really surprised at her stamina. So she's doing great, and thank you for all your prayers.
We want to thank everyone for their prayers. We had our 18-week ultrasound this past week, and the baby is very healthy, and everything went well, so thank you. And we found out we're going to have a boy, so we're very happy about that. Thank you.
I want to say to the Lord, thank you. Thank you for the church. The church has been in our children's life more than anything. I thank everybody. In the name of the Lord. Thank you.
As you all know, we're in the midst of inviting people to consider being an elder or a deacon or serving in other ways in the church. And So we're coming up on a little bit of a transition in our church leadership. And so I wanted to give thanks for those who have served and who are finishing their time as an elder or a deacon or in other offices in the church, and for the wonderful job that they've done. And we could pray for the people that are praying and considering becoming an elder or a deacon in the future, that God would give them guidance. And would also like to ask for prayer for our house groups and for the mission that we've been engaged in together in public education, that we are bringing house groups to a close in June for this season. And just would love to pray that the last meetings of house groups would be really powerful and encouraging for people, and that God would give us wisdom as we look to the future. What are the ways that we as a church should continue to be involved in public education and trying to help that flourish in our city? Thanks.
Yeah, so I'm traveling quite a bit over the next next few weeks. I'm going to earn my gold mileage plus whatever. But I would keep me in my prayers for the travel, and especially for Chris as she holds down the church front and the home front while I'm gone.
I'd love for you to pray for a former student of mine. His name is Miguel, and I found out recently that his father's being deported. Miguel was present when his father was arrested and is taking it very deeply. And also pray for this once stable family that is no longer stable. Thanks.
I'd like prayers for my daughter Carmen, who's headed off to Life Camp for the Disabled today. We're taking her up to New Hampshire. And last year she was homesick for the first three of the 6 days. And so I hope she does a little better this year.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter and Junior. Junior had a endoscopy this week with a biopsy involved, and so we won't know the results yet. But also I'd like prayers for their sister Edith, who was hospitalized this week with congestive heart failure. She's 90 years old, and she's probably on her last days. Her heart valves are closing, and there's nothing they can do about it at this point.
I just want to thank the Lord for last Thursday, Priscilla, which is my wife, was, she passed out. She was really early in the morning. We took her to the emergency room, but thank God, she was okay later. So I just want to thank God for that.
I wanted to pray for my mom. She's coming to the United States. I thank God because she's coming to visit me, and that she can have a safe trip.
A joy, the Mount Hope Learning Center plant and bake sale, they had their best every year in the 14 years that they've been around, and we helped make that happen. So thank you all for your donations, and they raised over $5,500 for their community and after school programs.
There is this young Chinese man in jail. He became a Christian a few weeks ago. And as he is going to be deported in a few weeks, I want you to ask, to pray, asking God to help him to find a church back in his country. His name is Zipeng Hu.
Give thanks for the ways that we are in,
continuing to be involved in the community. We invite you to sponsor Rolf as part of the Troublemakers team of the UCP Rhode Island Walkathon on the 10th. There's going to be information on the mission bulletin board, but he's happy to take your pledges on that, and we give thanks for the Mount Hope Learning Center and the connections that are evolving there through that joy. Let us pray. We give thanks this day, O God, for the beauty of creation, for all in you that is good and kind and loving and just, for the ways in which you work in the world and through your people to enable us to be the disciples that you would have us be. We pray, O Lord, for our world, for people who come to our minds and our midst and our relationships, whose paths cross with ours in times of difficulty. We pray particularly for those that are facing deportation and those who minister to them. We pray for Zaphan Hu as he tries to find a new church as a new Christian as he goes back to his homeland. We pray, O Lord, for Miguel's family in these days, for Alice's former student, this once stable family now made instable, and for the pain and the heartache of that. Lord, we pray that you would help us to find better ways in this world of ours to be your people throughout the world living together. We pray, O Lord, in thanksgiving for the ways in which you move in our lives as a community of faith to help us to support one another across boundaries that sometimes don't get past. We thank you for your ways and this world that have guided folks to graduation in our midst this weekend, for Sheila, for Kwame, for Gerald. We pray your blessing upon them as they move in new directions in the out of the school situations that they have labored so long and challenge. We pray for you to guide them, that they might ever be close to you in that journey. We pray for Mema and her travels here, for safety, for opportunity, for Carmen and her opportunity to be at the Life Camp this week, for the space that it gives to Suzanne. We lift to you the concerns of our hearts, spoken and unspoken, for needs for healing of body, mind, or spirit, for Peter Holscher, for Pacifique, for Andrea, for Priscilla's continued healing, for Brooke's father, for Walter and Junior and Edith. We give thanks, O Lord, for the joys of life, for the opportunities to celebrate accomplishments, for John's finishing of this long in the coming training manual, for the Bay's good news of this baby boy's health. We pray for continued strength for all the pregnancies in this congregation, for healing, for the hope that comes with new birth. We pray, O Lord, for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, for families known and unknown to us, for my Girl Scout troop member Ruby's family and her mother's sudden loss, for healing and peace in these days. We pray, O Lord, for the work and witness of this congregation and each one who brings their gifts into that mix. May we give freely and prayerfully as you alone call us to answer where you would lead. We pray in this season, this change of leadership and transition here, that you would be with our nominating committee as they discern who it is you are calling to join in leadership, that you would be on our hearts and minds in this time, that we might be prompted to serve in new ways, to share our gifts as a community of care. We pray, O Lord, in this time of transition of seasons, of the finish of this school year, that you would continue to work in us as we have focused our attention this year in public education through the house group program. We ask your blessing on our efforts in these weeks ahead as we gather together to reflect on that, to look at the ways you continue to lead us and inspire us, the ways in which you have changed us through this attention. We give thanks for the connections that we have made. Help us to always remember those as we move forward in faith. We pray, O Lord, for all those who travel here and there in these times, and we pray for Andrew and his travels. May they be safe and productive. For those that are here in the midst of welcoming and sending forth visitors, we pray your blessing. Grant us your grace as we seek to be always grounded in your spirit alone, with energy, imagination, intelligence, and love, in the power of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Come on up. Look what I got here. Do you think it's a, what do you think it is? It's a carpet. Do you think it's a magic carpet? No, it's not really a magic carpet. But I need two people who like a challenge. How about Emily and Eden? Why don't you come up with me? See, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give you a challenge, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this rug up here, okay? And I want you guys to stand on the rug. Come on up. Come on up. Two of you. Just the two of you. You can stay out down there. Here, come on up. All right. So I want you to stand on the rug. Whoa, three. This is going to be harder. Okay, so here's the idea. You have to turn that rug over without getting off the rug, without stepping on the floor, before my children's sermon is done. And I want you all guys to watch and make sure they don't. If they step on the floor, they have to start over again. Okay? What's that? Yeah, you can scoot your back, then you can start. Okay, so while they're busy doing that, I want to come down and talk to the rest of you, and you watch and see if they figure out how to do it. Okay, so I'm going to ask the rest of you, have you ever been on a team? No? Do you know anybody who's been on a team? Like a baseball team or something? No? Oh, you've been on a team? What kind of team have you been on? Oh, someone you know, great. Yeah, so there's teams.
On baseball.
You're on a baseball team? Really? That's great. So have you ever been in a group? Have you ever been in a group? Like a group of friends? Some of you must have a group of friends. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, of course you have groups of friends. So here's my question for you. What's the difference between a team and a group? Does anybody know what the difference is? What do you think? It's hard to tell what a team and a group. You know what I think the difference is with a team and a group? I read this one time, and how are they doing up there? They're getting there. They're doing well. So the difference between a team and a group is a group is a bunch of people riding in an elevator. A team is a group of people riding in an elevator if the elevator gets stuck. Because when the elevator gets stuck, hooray! All right, come on down. Okay, good job. So, because when the elevator gets stuck, everybody has a problem to solve. And so some people might try to call on the phone, and other people might try to see if they can make the buttons work. That's right. Someone could come. That's right. So that's the idea, is that when something happens and you need to solve a problem, then a group of people becomes a team. So did we just see a team at work? Who was a team? Raise your hands if you were part of a team. Well, these three were part of a team because they were up there and I gave them a problem to solve and they had to work together and they did it pretty well. They did great. Okay? Now, here's a harder question. All of you together, are you a group or a team? You're a team. That's good. Because in a way, all of you here also have a problem to solve, which is how to tell about Jesus all around the world with all the people you meet. And you guys come to church and kind of learn to work together as a team and so forth. And that's a little bit about what the story is today that we're going to read about and that Pastor Chris is going to talk about, which is after Jesus' ministry was over on earth and he ascended back into heaven, all the disciples were sitting around and they had to figure out how to be more than a group. They had to figure out a team. And their challenge was to see how they could preach about Jesus even though Jesus wasn't with them in body at that time, okay? So let's say a little prayer, all right? Dear God, there are groups and there are teams. Help us in this church to be a team. Help us to see the problems that we can face together and figure out and solve, just as our three team members on the stage did today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, you go to your class.
Senior high class is meeting as well as the rest of the classes downstairs. So.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the first book of Psalms. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. And their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Our New Testament lesson comes from the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and let another take his position of overseer.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from Judas, turned aside to go his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A week and a half ago, as we gathered in the Hope Room, as I prepared to gather in the Hope Room with anyone who might come to this new thing we're calling worship planning here at Providence Presbyterian Church, I had no idea if anyone would even show up. But we had a team. We had a team of 10 of us who gathered in the Hope Room, and I hope that you, some of you, will be moved in the course of this day to become a team with Kathy Cooper and Murray Blackadar in these next couple of weeks to be a worship team, because I give thanks to team member Judy Babcock for that middle hymn, which we've never sung before, but which she discovered that night. This is going to be, for you, a different kind of sermon, for me, a different kind of sermon. It is amazing to hear the words of Scripture through the lectionary come to us in this time of replacing Judas as one of the disciples, at a time that we ourselves in the church year are looking at the nominating committee process. It's amazing how the lectionary speaks to us in that time. What I would like to do in our time together here is to share with you some reflections against the backdrop of this scripture, this story of how important it was to replace Judas as we go forth through this time of transition. Some of the reflections and stories that I have seen in our midst here in this last month or so. As we prepare to turn to the beginning of the book of Acts, this message to the new church. Will you pray with me? Pour forth your Spirit, O God, upon your word to us this day, that the words I speak and the prayers that are formed in our hearts, the words that grow in our hearts, might be your word alone. Through Christ we pray. Amen. The lectionary, Psalm 1 for today, the beginning of the book of Psalms, parallels the beginning of this initial part of the book of Acts. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. We gather this day to praise the God who is beyond us, who is in us, who is doing a mighty thing, to be rooted by streams of water, expecting the Spirit, even as we look with new eyes upon our community and our church. The followers of Jesus had seen amazing things before they returned to Jerusalem to gather in that upper room again. The journey with Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension into heaven. We too are doing new things in many directions. As I mentioned to you, this worship planning time is transforming the way that we do worship together while we continue to live in a time of transition with continuity. You need to know that means a big transition for me as co-pastor Chris. In my old world at PPC, once a month I prepared worship. Once a month. In my new world at PPC, I am ultimately responsible for making sure that worship happens here every Sunday, which means that at any given time, there are two worship services going through my head, even if I'm not preaching. I'm grateful that we're still only preaching once a month. This group that gathered in the upper room was not by itself. It was not just the 11. We read that there were followers of Jesus, mostly unnamed, but constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. I can tell you that the phrase constantly devoting themselves to prayer has taken on new meaning in these past weeks. And some of you have noticed that I pray very early in the morning. First, they pray in Acts. At the heart of ministry here, too, as in Acts, Prayer is at the core of this church's ministry. With the work of the prayer chain in touch with each other as many times during the week as is needful for those of you who are seeking prayers for people in your circle of friends and family and extended world. In our Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, in your own individual lives as you gather here. When we ask you to pray, we know you will. The Wednesday morning prayer group is expanding. It's not uncommon for us to have 10 to 12 people at breakfast at 7:30, and that might be because Sean makes French toast and pancakes every week. We invite you to try it. But it's expanding, and the passion and the energy of that group, which gathers faithfully round the year, praying for our congregation, our church, our community, our world, personal concerns that come up on Saturday or on our Sunday worship together, is a major part of this church's ministry. The followers of Jesus in Acts were gathered together to pray and to look forward. They had just lost Judas. It says of Judas here in this passage that he was numbered among us and was allotted his share of this ministry. He was part of the team. We most think of him and remember him in these days as the one who ultimately betrayed Christ to the authorities, as John puts it, destined to be lost. But we forget that he had his part in the core of their ministry. In fact, he was the treasurer. Our treasurer is not Judas. But he was the treasurer, and we know how important a treasurer is in the life and ministry of a congregation. And when he was gone, he left a hole in that ministry, a part of the witness of the disciples that was incomplete. And the disciples gathered to seek another so that their witness may be whole. Did you know that we have had a number of visitors since the end of April when Pastor Dave left? What has struck me in meeting with them and talking to them is they are enlivened by this vibrant community that they have met here. They have no idea that we are in the midst of pastoral transition. It's kind of a little surreal at times, as many of us are trying to live into the differences we feel in this community of church. We are graced and gifted by these new folks in our community who want to be part of this team. They're excited to see and hear more, to jump in, and you're meeting them and welcoming them. One powerful example to me was after one of several challenging pastoral situations last week, a visitor came last Sunday for the first time. As one who works in exactly the kind of program that we needed a referral to in that moment, a program in 15 years of living here I'd never even heard of, and he worked for them. Crisis on Saturday, answers on Sunday. I, for one, am grateful that God can answer prayers that quickly. Coincidence? I don't think so. If we are looking for God to act, we will see life differently as we pray. We will begin to see the blessings of life. We will begin to see the ways that God is active even in the most difficult of circumstances. Last week, we introduced you to our summer ministry coordinator, Jade Alves. Watching this calling of Jade unfold over the past few months has been a powerful experience of answered prayer. Jade joined the church out of our February membership class of this year. She'd only been here for a few months visiting with this congregation. And as we met together in March, as Pastor Dave and I were talking to the new members that were coming in that were somewhat surprised to find out that he was leaving after spending three Sundays with them, as Jade and I met together in March around totally different issues of discussion in her joining, I became aware that she had just the right gifts to offer this congregation in ministry in this time. I just had no idea how that was going to evolve from March to May. And I got so excited about it as we drank coffee together in one of the local coffee shops that the guy sitting at the table next to us asked me to keep my voice down because I was getting too loud. Remember? And not only did he do that, he thanked me later when I kept it down. And evolve it has from several different directions. And we will be the rich beneficiary of her gifts and her experience and expertise as she serves here in this summer. The disciples gathered in that upper room, and then they prayed again, the first corporate oral prayer recorded in the New Testament. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. They propose two people, two persons we'd never heard of by name in the story, most likely unnamed followers in the crowd who walked with Jesus. But these fellow disciples who were in that room, in that time, knew who they were, ones who were following closely, watching, and learning from Jesus. To be an apostle, you see, is one who is sent out, one sent for all time with a mission, sent out with the great commission of Jesus. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. It is a careful process, a deliberate process, worthy of Presbyterians, of prayer and discernment, of watching and choosing. And then the disciples do something seemingly very random. In order to choose which disciple, they cast lots. They leave it to God to be sorted out in a way that is mysterious with this very non-scientific way of choosing. There's a saying that I love which goes something like this: work as if it all depends on you, and pray and trust as if nothing does. Work as if it all depends on you, and pray and trust as if nothing does. So what of that disciple who was chosen by lot, Matthias? I thought it was very interesting that Matt is our worship leader today. We never hear about him again by name in the New Testament, yet we can be sure that the purpose for which he has been called to complete this witness of the apostles is met, for the gospel spreads to the ends of the earth, and we've heard witness of that this morning in our prayers. Though this is the one and only time that Matthias is named in our Bible. In so many places of your lives, in and outside the church, you witness to Christ. I know it, I hear it, I see it. And we are called to do so everywhere we may travel. In workplace connections, in our families, in big and small ways, sharing the love of Christ with people who may never, ever enter these doors. Praying without ceasing. Looking beyond ourselves to creating a better community and opportunities such as one you will hear of today in our moment for mission. We are a community which has been richly blessed in resources beyond the material, grounded in prayer. As was the early church in all those followers of Jesus who gathered together to pray and to reach out, we, like those early disciples, need a full witness as we seek to be Christ's people in the world. We need to be a team, not a group. What you think you can give now may only seem like a very small piece of the puzzle. But don't underestimate it. That very small thing can be the difference in whether or not something works. A word of encouragement, a smile when energies are flagging, just showing up to something, or taking one piece of the puzzle or the challenge and finding its fit. Might even be coffee hour for you. There is nothing random about the ways in which God weaves together the rich gifts for ministry in the life of community, where Paul reminds us that the gifts are provided as needed for the witness to go forth. The beginning of Acts, this first chapter, states it boldly. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are on the eve of Pentecost. May we live this story that we read in our lectionary today, trees planted in streams of water, grounded in baptism, which is our call to ministry, gathered in prayer, and sent forth to serve in this and all places. Amen.
Please stand and repeat with me our affirmation of faith from a brief statement of faith as printed in the bulletin. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life, the same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles, rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus."
Our moment for mission this morning is from Murray Blackadar on our connections to the Rhode Island Organizing Project.
Good morning. I just have to say that I feel the sermon we just heard is great undergirding for what I want to share with you. Not that Chris didn't know about what I'm going to say and has been a very active participant in preparing for this RIOP meeting that's coming. The insert in the bulletin gives you the details of this meeting. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the context for this meeting, what it means for this church to be part of RIOP and this meeting, and what it means to RIOP to have this church be part of RIOP and its meeting. So I want to point it in both directions. The date of the meeting is June 4th, Monday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. RIOP prides itself on being very sort of prompt beginning and ending, so you can count on that, an hour and a half. It's a meeting that rises out of maybe about 50, between 45 and 50 house meetings. We called them conversations in this church. We had three of them talking about areas of brokenness in the community, of concern to people in this congregation and to us as members of a broader community. but also coming out of the kind of study we've been doing in what we call house groups, and looking at brokenness in the community and why it matters to us to work as believing people, as people of faith, as Christians for the rebuilding of the city. And rising out of that came issues of concern for seniors living in our community. One of our groups did raise that issue up and speak of that at some length. There are, really are about a dozen or maybe 14 seniors in this congregation. Unusual, really, in the makeup of churches these days that this congregation is as young as it is. But we recognize that there were issues for seniors among us and of concern, and so added our voices to those coming in RIOP to deal with it. That combined with the fact that the state legislature in this state of Rhode Island was going to cut programs for seniors by 25% of the existing budget for seniors, but that pattern of cutting those programs has been going on for about 8 years of budgets. So this is the latest set of cuts to programs like Meals on Wheels. Everybody knows that Meals on Wheels is about more than food to seniors, although that is an important part for people who are older and living alone and maybe don't eat as well as they should or can. It's about contact and visit and helping people not to be isolated. Respite care is another area to be cut. That has to do with the people, non-professional people, usually family members, taking care of seniors and people trying to keep them living in their homes rather than in nursing homes. Respite care for the caregivers. Senior centers in Rhode Island, these are neighborhood groups that allow contact and support and services to be given to seniors. So those are the issues that will be dealt with in the RIOP action on Monday, June 4th. Some of us may find it a little hard to think of these as our issues, although some of us don't have any trouble with that at all. But all of us, we find, if we look at our own family stories and our own life experiences, that we recognize we have parents and we have grandparents, and we will be, if we are not already, involved in the decisions that are made for care and support and undergirding of these people in our lives, and eventually we'll be doing it regarding ourselves. So we hope that you will be present at this meeting. It matters a lot that a number of people are present for this meeting, which will include legislators who are dealing with these cuts in the state budget. They need to see what we're like as a group of churches and other groups with us in the community, the diversity of us, not only in this congregation, but in these wider groups, and that we care deeply about these particular issues that we want to help them to be sure to have on their radar as they deal with the larger budget issues of this state. So we invite you to come. It matters that people be here, and that a lot of people be here. We'd like it to fill this place and the Hope Room as well. You can help that happen. We invite you to come. It will matter a lot to this church. It will matter a lot to RIOP. And I'm guessing it may matter a lot to you, too. Thank you.
And
and it's an hour and a half of your life. Matt.
In a spirit of prayer and thanksgiving, let us now receive the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we ask that you accept these tithes and offerings, that you bless them and multiply them, use them to meet needs throughout the world, and to strengthen teams gathered everywhere, in your name. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is called As Partners in Christ's Service, number 343 in the Presbyterian hymnal.